عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بسيدنا أبي عبد الله الحسين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات، ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Many people ask and wonder after the day of Ashura that what were the ramifications and repercussions of the day of Ashura? Was Imam Hussein able to achieve any goal? Was he able to transform and change the people? Many people wonder about this. What happened on that day? What are the immediate results of such a powerful event? Was it worth it to give all his blood and his family and children's blood and sacrifice? Was it worth it? Was he able to bring about any reforms within Islam, within the community of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? To answer this, we need a brief preface here. We know, brothers and sisters, that tragic events, when someone important is lost, when you have a tragedy, in the beginning people feel very compassionate about it. But by passing the time, few months later, few years later, people tend to forget. And this tragedy and the passion of that tragedy begins to subside, retreat. And a time comes that people will feel indifferent about it many years later. And this is something good that Allah bestowed on the people, to forget tragic events in their life. Otherwise, if you, God forbid, if someone loses a loved one, a father, a mother, a brother, a spouse, a husband, a wife, Allah doesn't want you to mourn him for the rest of your life. However, there is an exception to this norm. Ashura is an exception here. Ashura not only did not subside, Ashura not only did not recede, the day of Ashura, the event of Muharram, the martyrdom of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, peace and the blessing of Allah be upon him and his family, has been magnified and amplified and refreshed, revitalized every year. Every year, by the passing of the time, this event becomes greater and greater, much bigger than the previous years. Imagine how many people mourned Imam Hussein when he died. How many on the day of Ashura? Only his immediate family. Only Zainab, Umm Kulthum, the women and children. But the following year, people started to come and visit his shrine. Many years later, during the time of Bani Umayyah and Bani al-Abbas, who strictly forbid the people of mentioning the name of Hussein and paying tribute to him and his grave in Karbala, and they put a very hefty penalty on the people who go there. They have to pay money sometimes. The following years they have to lose one of their arms. If you want to go and visit, you have to give one of your arms as a penalty. And people would still go and visit. Today, quality-wise and quantity-wise, this event being revitalized, resurrected again and again. Today I can tell you that in each and every village, city, town, throughout the whole world, you can see people on the day of Ashura sitting and commemorating the event of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, mentioning him. In fact, for the last few days I was seeing people, they weep for Imam Hussein as if the tragedy took place the same day. Sometimes in America people come, maybe non-Muslims, some people in the authority, when they come to the sessions of Imam Hussein, the sessions of Ashura, they think that the tragedy took place just weeks ago. When we tell them that this event happened 1400 years ago, they get shocked. 1400 years ago, and you still, we thought this is your father, your grandfather. 1400 years ago and you still weep? Yes, because this is the secret of the progress here. This is the secret of the success and the change and the transformation, that we keep it alive in our minds and in our heart. It's an exception. Ashura is an exception. Despite all the attempts by the tyrants, ancient tyrants, modern contemporary tyrants today in the Middle East, in Iraq, in other countries, to stop these ceremonies which commemorate the event of Ashura. Even this year in Baghdad, how many people lost their lives because of car bombs, terrorist acts, to intimidate people, to frighten them, so they stop these events. But it would never stop, Because Allah, this has to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants this to continue. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَأْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ. Allah is the organizer of these events, not ordinary people. What brought you here to this session for many, many nights was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody was paying you anything. I know there are some concerts that people sometimes give free tickets, encourage people to go. People do not show up. There is a low turnout. But for the sessions of Imam Hussein, everywhere, centers and Husseiniyas and mosques are packed with people of different race and different languages. Imam Hussein, Karbala is an eternal, eternal battle, eternal event. This is why it has been eternalized, universalized, not only in Karbala today, everywhere you go. Why that is happening, brothers and sisters, for the simple fact that if the issue that you are advocating, the cause that you are advocating, if it contains noble values, the more noble values it has and it contains and it carries, the longer it will last. And since Karbala is the mother of nobility, every noble idea, noble trait was found on the day of Karbala among Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions. This is why it would last forever. All other events and ceremonies one day, they will be diminishing one day, except the event of Ashura. It will continue getting bigger and bigger till the day of judgment. Al-Imam Al-Hujjah says, وَاللَّهِ لَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ دَمًا. This is our leader, Imam Al-Hujjah, the present Imam. Ya Jaddah, O my grandfather, in Ziyarat Al-Nahiyah, I will continue weeping for you, not only during the 10th of Muharram, not only on the day of Ashura, صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, perpetual, day and night. The angels are weeping for Imam Hussein day and night, commemorating him and celebrating his name. Now, what are the ramifications of this day in the history of Islam? The first thing that Ashura did and the blood of Imam Hussein achieved is to unveil and uncover the ugly face of Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah were disguised under the mask of Islam. Banu Umayyah portrayed themselves to the masses, to the Muslims, as the true representatives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it did uncover the deception and the deceit of this clan, of this tribe of Bani Umayyah. This is the first, the very first outcome of the day of Ashura. Even Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa, who mobilized thousands of fighters to go to encircle Imam Hussein, surround him, and ultimately kill him. Even that man, when he returned home, his mother Marjana was present. She was alive. The mother of Ibn Ziyad, the commander of Bani Umayyah's army. His mother started rebuking him. His mother was very furious. She was very outraged by the conduct of her son, and she said to him, you will see the damnation, you will receive the damnation of Allah soon. Imagine, this is the mother of the commander of the army, Ibn Ziyad. The same thing with other commanders. Umar ibn Sa'd, the one who was present in the battlefield, Umar ibn Sa'd, who ordered the beheading of Imam Hussein today on the morning of Ashura. Umar ibn Sa'd had been promised by Yazid to be given the governorship of Ray, the ancient name of Tehran today. If you kill Imam Hussein, I'm going to appoint you as the governor of Ray. So this is what he did. He had hope to be the governor, to be the leader. But when he accomplished his mission and he went back to Yazid asking for the leadership, Yazid said to him, Umar, if you are stupid, I am not stupid. I know what happened on the eve of Ashura. You are hesitant on the eve of Ashura. Yes, because somebody brought me the news that in the tent, you are hesitant. You are thinking to yourself, فوالله ما أدري وإني لحائر أفكر في أمري على خطرين أأترك ملك الري والري منيتي أمرجع مذموما بقتل حسيني حسين بن عمي. Hussein is the second cousin of Umar ibn Sa'd, brothers and sisters, the second cousin. Hussein ibn Ammi wal hawadith jammatun la'amri wali fi ar-ray qurratu 'ayni. He recited this poetry that I don't know, I am confused. I don't know what to do. I go ahead with this task, killing Hussein. It's hard for me. Hussein is my second cousin. How can I kill the son, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or should I forego the leadership, political leadership of Ray? This is again hard for me. I'm aspiring to be the governor of Ray. This is a very tempting position. So I don't know what to do. But ultimately, he decided to choose Jahannam. Unlike Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, who at the last minute, before Ashura broke out, he decided to join the camp of Imam Hussein. So Yazid told him that, I received the news that you are not resolute, determined. Therefore, you're not going to get the governorship of Ray. Allahu Akbar. He lost the dunya and he lost the akhirah. The third example, Khiwalla ibn Yazid al-Asbahi. After the noon of Ashura, Umar ibn Sa'd ordered that all the heads of the companions of Imam Hussein be decapitated, separated from the bodies, and then he started distributing the heads among the tribes who contributed into the killing of Imam Hussein. Each tribe will take one of these heads. And then he said the head of Imam Hussein has to be sent immediately to Ibn Ziyad in Kufa. They were in Karbala, Ibn Ziyad was in Kufa, waiting for the good news of the killing of Imam Hussein. So Umar ibn Sa'd decided to send the head with a man by the name of Khiwalla ibn Yazid al-Asbahi. He said to him, tonight I want you to reach Kufa. Imagine, it was afternoon in Karbala, and the distance is by horse, riding a horse, is more than, 15, 20 hours. He said to him, I want you, before Ibn Ziyad goes to bed tonight, I want you to go and catch him and give him the head of Imam Hussein. Prove to him that mission is accomplished. So Khiwalla takes the head of Imam Hussein and he runs fast with his horse, heading towards Kufa. By the time he reached Kufa was well after midnight. And the governor is asleep. So he decided to go home. So he took the head of Imam Hussein. Allahu Akbar. It's very agonizing. I can't tell the story, but I have to finish the story. It's very agonizing. The head of Imam Hussein is being carried with a man. He goes home. His wife opens the door for him. He tells his wife, I have brilliant news for you, awesome news. What is it? He said to her, you know what I have in this bag here? What do you have? I have the head of the grandson of a Prophet Muhammad with me. Allahu Akbar. She said to him, Tabban lak. May the curse of Allah be upon you. This is good news. الناس يعودون من السفر بالدراهم والدنانير والذهب والفضة. People come back from their trip bringing jewelry and money and gifts to their wives. And you bring me the head of Imam Hussein with you and you are proud of that? تباً لك. May Allah curse you. By Allah, I would never stay with you under one roof. I would never. This is the last time I see you and you see me. And she leaves the house. Imagine, he was happy. He thought that his wife will embrace him and tell him, well done. Look at the losers here. The losers who thought that they're going to make some gain and some profit out of that. They lost their immediate families. And he was left alone. So these are examples which took place among the Muslim community. Even the commanders and the fighters of Bani Umayyah. Others, other people of course, other people were shot as well. People did not know the identity, the true identity of Bani Umayyah. Umar ibn Sa'd on the day of Ashura declares, Ya khayl Allah irkabi wa bil jannati abshiri. All the horsemen of God, the army of God, go forward. Paradise is in front of you. When you kill Hussein, you will be granted paradise. Look at the thinking of the people. And 30,000, they shout, Hallelujah. Yes, they agree with him. But then people started to know that those are the family of Rasulullah. Many people did not even recognize them. Did not recognize that those women, Zainab, Umm Kulthum, Ruqayya, Zayn al-Abidin, are the immediate family of Rasulullah, because they announced, declared in the Muslim nation that those are non-Muslims, non-Arabs, Khawarij, seceders from Turkey and from Rome, and they gave them certain names. But Imam Zayn al-Abidin, when he stands, this is how he introduces him. He says, Oh people, Ana ibn Makkata wa Mina. Ana ibn Makkata wa Mina. I'm not from outside Arabia, I'm not outside Islam. I'm from the heart of Islam. Ana ibn Makkata wa Mina. Ana ibn Zamzam wa Safa. Ana ibn man hamala al-rukn. Hamala bi atraf al-rida. Rukna bi atraf al-rida. Yani al-hajar al-aswad, the black stone. I'm the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then people started to realize that those are the family of the Prophet. Even this event shook the non-Muslims at that time, on their way, taking the head of Imam Hussein and the family as captives, taking them from Karbala to Kufa, from Kufa to Damascus. They passed through a temple, belongs to a Christian monk. So the Christian priest or monk, he came, he looked at the head of Imam Hussein. He said, Who does this head belong to? He said, We will share this only with you. Don't tell anyone. Since you are non-Muslim, we're going to tell you the true identity of this man. To others, we say this is non-Muslim. But to you, since you are non-Muslim, we're going to tell you the truth. This is the head of the son of the daughter of our Prophet. Telling the Christian monk. He says, Tabban lakum, woe to you. May Allah never grant you any blessing. This is the head of the son of the daughter of your Prophet Muhammad. This is how you deal with him. Wallahi law kana lil masih walad لأسكناه أحداقنا. By Allah, had Jesus Christ had a son, we would have lodged him in our eyes and our hearts. This is how you treat the offspring and the children of your Prophet. He was shocked, the man. Even the non-Muslims were shocked at this tragedy. Brothers and sisters, today if you go to Palestine, one of the several churches, famous churches, which does exist there, is the Church of the Hoof. Kanisatul Hafir, the Church of the Hoof. The Hoof of what? the hoof of an animal. That animal was the donkey. They believe that. This is here the trace of the donkey that Isa alayhi salam was riding, stood there, so the hoof was left there. So they came after him and they built a church on that site to commemorate the donkey of Isa, the animal, not Isa himself, the donkey, the animal. This is how they respect their leaders. And look at what Yazid did to our imams. And look at what the Wahhabis are doing today. Are doing to the graves of our imams. When I went to LA, Los Angeles, my father's house was next to a house, historic house. And they had a, you know, a sign saying this is a historic house. So I inquired, why this house is historic? You know why? See how they celebrate their events. They said when the first settlers came to this area, they brought their horses to this place. They made the place a stable for the horses. And since those were the four settlers who traveled and moved to California, therefore they have to be celebrated. And this house is a historic house to remember those people. They brought their animals there. Imagine how they respect their tradition. And today you go to Baqi', the most ancient cemetery on earth, which did exist before the time of the Prophet, during the time of the Prophet, we have no less than 20,000 of the Prophet's companions, 20,000 of them, buried there in that cemetery. And a bulk of Ahlul Bayt are buried there. Among them are four imams. And you go there, and the person is standing, he says, haram, don't worship the stone. Don't worship the rock. It's haram, don't do that. They have no regards. You know why they don't have any regards? Because Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the leader of Wahhabism, this cursed sect, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, one day he stood and he raised a stick in his hand. He said, Asaya hadihi afdalu min Muhammad. The stick that I am carrying in my hand is much better than Muhammad. Why? لأن Muhammad, because Muhammad is dead and he's useless. This is the language he uses about the Prophet. He's useless. And I can use, this stick is useful. So this stick is better than Muhammad. This is the mastermind, the founder of Wahhabism today, which exists in Hijaz. See the mentality of the people today? And you think those people will respect the Prophet or Ahlul Bayt? Or Allah, even Allah? So this is how the event of Ashura shook the very foundation of Bani Umayyah. People were able to know their reality. People have been misled by them and brainwashed by Bani Umayyah, brothers and sisters. They thought that Yazid is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar ibn Sa'd and others are true pious leaders. But it was the day of Ashura which uncovered the veil from Bani Umayyah. The second reason, the second repercussion of Ashura, brothers and sisters, is that Bani Umayyah worked not only against Islam, not only they aimed to destroy Islam, to obliterate and annihilate this religion, not only Islam has been derailed and ibadat and worshipping became a bunch of dead rituals, had no meaning, had no flavor. This is why Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ وَإِلَى الْبَاطِلِ لَا يُتَنَاهَا عَنْهِ. Islam had no flavor, no essence, no meaning. Yes, people will do pray, but after the prayers, they will kill each other, they will steal, they rob each other. What's the meaning of the prayers here? It has no meaning. مَنْ لَمْ
من لم تزده صلاته خشوعا وقربا إلى الله وبعدا عن الفحشاء والمنكر لم تزده إلا بعدا من الله. If the salat cannot control me and my bad desires and my shameful desires, then this salat will take me away. The same salat, huh? Nothing else, not the dancing, the salat itself is going to take me away from God. And this is just what happened during the time of Bani Umayyah. They go to the mosque, they listen to the speaker, but the speaker who stands on the pulpit of the Prophet and curses the family, the immediate family of the Prophet. Imagine. The people who went to fight Imam Hussein alayhi salam, some of the people, they made the niyyah, the intention of qurbatan ila Allah ta'ala. We go and kill Hussein seeking nearness to Allah. Seeking nearness to Allah. Look how they were deeply and totally brainwashed. Killing the son of the Prophet, seeking nearness to God. So, this was the situation of the Ummah. The Islamic Ummah was in deep coma, mentally, spiritually paralyzed and dead. Ashura came and the blood of Imam Hussein came to give a jump start, to resuscitate the heart and the brain of the Islamic Ummah. And as a result of that, immediately after the day of Ashura, brothers and sisters, if you look at the history of Islam, you will find that this day, the day of Ashura, initiated many, many revolutions, not only in Iraq, in Syria, and other parts of the Muslim world. The revolution of Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd al-Thaqafi, Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra, Zayd ibn Ali. Immediately after the killing of Imam Hussein, the following year the people of Medina revolted against Yazid. The third year the people of Mecca, Mus'ab ibn Zubayr, Abdullah ibn Zubayr and others. All the holy cities in Arabia and Hijaz revolted against the tyrannical rule of Bani Umayyah and Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Yazid did not enjoy the government. Only 3 years after Imam Hussein, Yazid was killed at a very young age. He could not stay longer. All the murderers of Imam Hussein, 6 years after the event of Ashura, Imam Hussein was killed in Muharram of 61. Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd al-Thaqafi came in the year 66 Hijri, 5 years after the tragedy of Ashura, and he surrounds the city of Kufa with his fighters, encircles all those murderers of Imam Hussein, Umar ibn Sa'ad, Shimr ibn Dil Jawshan, Khiwalla ibn Yazid al-Asbahi, and others and others and others, and he kills in one day 280 people of them, the murderers of Imam Hussein. They did not enjoy life. They could not. And after that, you see the revolutions take place one after the other until this regime of Bani Umayyah collapses. And all the historians unanimously agree that the day of Ashura contributed to the collapse of the regime of Bani Umayyah. They could not last longer. It was the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, the day of Ashura. Even today, brothers and sisters, tyrants are afraid of Imam Hussein. You can mention any battle for them, they don't care, but don't mention the name of Ashura. I remember at some points in Iraq and Karbala, you can say whatever you want to say, any name, but don't say Ya Hussein. Don't say Ya Hussein. Because Ya Hussein shakes the very foundation of the regime, the tyrant regime. They cannot stand hearing the name Hussein or Karbala or Ashura. The man came all the way from Baghdad with his troops carrying the banners, La Shi'ata Ba'd al-Yawm. No more Shi'as today. In this land, no more Shi'as today. He himself was killed, the son-in-law of Saddam Hussein. His father-in-law is captured. His wife, I don't know what, where she's doing, homeless in one of these countries. And today, alhamdulillah, the Shia are the majority in that country, winning the government, inshallah. And they will be majority elsewhere, inshallah, soon. No one can fight with Ahlul Bayt. They think that we can kill, we can destroy, and that's it. At one time, they did not allow the people to go and visit Imam Hussein. And they removed the grave completely. No sign. The man comes. The Arab, simple Arab man without education, he arrives into Karbala. He bends down. He was in search of Imam Hussein's grave. And he starts smelling the soil of Karbala. He walks and he smells, until he reached the point, he said, here is the grave of my beloved Hussein. I can tell from the fragrance. أَرَادُوا لِيُخْفُوا قَبْرَهُ عَنْ مُحِبِّهِ وَطِيبُ تُرَابِ الْقَبْرِ دَلَّ عَلَى الْقَبْرِ. They tried to conceal the grave from the lovers, but I discovered the grave because of the fragrance of the grave. This is Imam Hussein, brothers and sisters. Imam Hussein will continue and Ashura will continue. And let me conclude with this sentence tonight. Maybe I would not be able to see you. Tomorrow we're going to have a Q&A session, inshallah, at 7:30 in Bonsbury Park. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I am your humble brother here tonight, standing among you, being honored to be among you, brothers and sisters. If you are in search of happiness, prosperity here in this life and in the hereafter, be with Ahlul Bayt. Stick to Ahlul Bayt. Be loyal to them. Serve them. Wallah, you're going to see the utmost happiness here and in the hereafter. Especially with Imam Hussein, in particular with this man. كلنا, the hadith says, كلنا سفن النجاة وسفينة الحسين أسرى. We are all boats and ships of salvations, but the fastest one amongst us is the ship of Imam Hussein. Be with Imam Hussein. Try to help him. Try to teach his lessons, transfer his lessons to others. You might not be a speaker here, you might not be a writer, you might not be a journalist, but you can tell his story to a friend at school, at work. Share it with them. Tell them, this is my history. This is Imam Hussein. Tonight, you know why it is dark here? Why it is dark here tonight? Because this is a message. We want to tell you and tell others that the camp of Imam Hussein is dark tonight in Karbala. It's subdued and dark. There is no more camp. In fact, there is no more tents. No more tents. The tents were burnt after the fall of Imam Hussein. Umar bin Sa'd declares, أحرقوا بيوت الظالمين. Burn down these tents of the wrongdoers. فَأَشْعَلُوا الْخِيَمَ نَارِ. They burnt the whole camp. So the family of Imam Hussein tonight is staying in the open desert. There is no tents which can contain the kids and the women. Surrounded by whom? Every night the camp is surrounded by Al-Abbas alayhi salam, the guard, by Ali ibn Akbar, by other youth, by Hussein himself. Tonight, who is guarding the camp? Two ladies. One, Zainab alayhi salam, and the other, Umm Kulthum. Zainab turns to her sister, Umm Kulthum. She says to her, my dear sister, every night our brothers are present here, protecting us. Tonight, it's our responsibility to be here. No one is with us. Me and you, we have to stand and protect the kids. So they stand, Zainab stands to the direction of Al-Ghari Al-Najaf, turns to her father's grave, Amir al-Mu'mineen.
بويا بويا علي أنا تشلتشل الليل ودارت علي أنا السلم والخيل بويا والعباس والأكبر متشاتيل متشاتيل وحسين مر بغير تغسيل وحسين مرمي بغير تغسيل والصبح ناوي الحادي يشيل تقلني ايش اسوي بهالمدانين لو ركبوها على المهازيل امس المسا يا حسين وحدي متحيرة ويدي على خدي ما ضل ما ضل ولي يا اخويا عندي بس العليل وزاد وجدي
A very depressing, agonizing night, the night of the 11th tonight in Karbala, brothers and sisters. You know what happened? Once they killed Imam Hussein in the afternoon, a group of the army of Bani Umayyah came to Umar ibn Sa'd. They said to him, Ya Amir, لقد قضيت الذي عليك بقتل الحسين. You have fulfilled your mission by killing Imam Hussein. So why abusing those women and children in the tents? They are thirsty. Let's take some water for them. He said, لا بأس, احملوا إليهم الماء. Take some water for them. So they filled some containers, water containers, and they brought it. Some of the army soldiers carrying them, brought them to close to the camp of Imam Hussein. The kids were standing there, were very thirsty. For 2 days they had nothing to drink. So they were standing, they saw the soldiers coming, they started running. The soldiers said, Ya Atfal al-Hussein, we are not going to harm you this time. We are not going. We are bringing some drinks to you. So stand. They stood there. They put the water containers on the ground, and they asked them to come forward with the children of Imam Hussein. They stood still, they never moved. One of the commanders said, Ya Atfal al-Hussein, alastum utasha? Aren't you thirsty? They said, yes, we are thirsty. Na'am wallah, lakin kayfa nashrab wa qad qutil al-Hussein wa abshan. We are thirsty, but how can we enjoy the drink? Why our master, our father, our leader, he left us thirsty. أنا أشرب يا ابن ديد الماء حاشا أنا أشرب ابن ديد الماء حاشا وأهلي قضوا كلهم عطاشا يا وأهلي قضوا كلهم يا معطاش وحسين الترب أمسى فراش يا شط الفرات اشجان عذرك يموت السبب ضامي بكترك لا تستحي ما فاض نهرك. Some of the tragedies of this night, agonizing stories of this night. Zainab alayhi salam, she gave a promise to Imam Hussein to gather the children, to protect them. Suddenly she was counting the kids. In the evening she realized that she's missing two of them. They are not there. She started searching about them here and there until she went to the battlefield. She started walking to the battlefield. She saw those two kids coming to one of the dead bodies of Imam Hussein's family and embracing that body. And they were dead, the two boys, the two small boys, embracing the body, and they died there. Allahu Akbar. Ah, ya waldi, wallah hazima. Hazima, hazima. Ana sir min sughri yatima. أنا صير من صغري يا
يتيمة يتيمة أثار الوليان خيمة فيا على بناته وحريمة يا فيا على بناته يا وحريمة
But the most depressing story of that night is the story of that tifla, the small baby, the girl. She was so close to her father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This baby used to put the carpets, prayers like for Imam Hussein. Whenever the time of the prayers arrives, she had the habit of running, bringing the prayers like and putting it on the floor in preparation for her father's prayer. On that night, she was waiting for her father to come. She turned to her auntie Zainab. عم زينب لقد حضر وقت الصلاة ما لي لا أرى أبي. Where is my father? It's time for the prayers. I prepared the prayers not for him. What answer she has عم زينب for her? قالت لها عم إنه في سفر بعيد يعني سفر الآخر. He traveled for a long distance. He is not able to come back tonight. Ah, خويا خويا أنا والله تحيرت والله بناتك والمرمرين قلبي خواتك خواتك هاي تقول عم وين عمي وذيك الصيح فارقني ابن أمي يهيج لوعتي ويزيد همي همي. Let me conclude with this story, the last story. Al-Rabab alayhi salam, again she was missed. Zainab was searching for Rabab. Rabab, where are you tonight? Rabab, I want to see you. Suddenly Zainab, she went far. She saw Rabab sitting there on a small grave, weeping and crying. Ya Rabab, what do you do here? She said, Sayyidati, لقد دربت ثديايا لبنا شربت الماء. I drank the water. Now I have some milk here, so I came to find my baby, Abdullah al-Rabi'a. Ya ibni ya Abdullah la farqak. يا ابني يا عبد الله لا فرقاياك انا صبري فينا ودرا فداياك يا صبري فينا ودرا ياك الله يا انت يا راك يا ديان كل الحرمله وياك للما يحين شبحت عيناك نيشن بسهم عليك ورماك. The last but not the least, since Zainab gave a pledge to Imam Hussein that she would never leave the camp when he is being murdered, and he took a pledge from her, so she was waiting. Waiting until the night falls of the day of the Ashur, the 10th of Muharram. When the kids go to bed and they sleep, they fall asleep at that time. Zainab alayhi salam, she was alone. Now the kids are asleep. On that moment, Zainab, she headed towards the battlefield because she did not bid farewell to her brother Imam Hussein. Now she wants to go and talk to him. She has something important to tell him. أخويا أنا أمشي وأعثر بالمطاعين. She was heading and there were bodies all over the battlefield. أنا أمشي وأعثر بالمطاعين مطاعين يا هو منكم حسين. Who is Hussein here? I can't recognize him. He has no head, he has no arm. How can I recognize my beloved brother? لما نسمعها زاد الونين يقلها يا زينب زيد الحنين انا حسين يا زينب انا حسين. I am here يا زينب
I am here. يا ليل كلك ولن ونياح عسى لا يطر عليك مصباح اشعدنا بدال حسين نورا
نذر علي لئن عادوا وإن رجعوا عظم الله لكم الأجر brothers and sisters may Allah increase the reward inshallah for you for participating in the commemoration and the lamentation of Sayyid al-Shuhada al-Imam al-Hussein inshallah these tears are reserved for you you're going to see the tears I know some of the our greatest scholars they used to bring a small bottle with them and they keep their tears in a bottle and then when they are buried they ask their loved ones to bury the bottle with them so they would carry it in front of Imam Hussein testimony to their loyalty and fidelity to Imam Hussein alayhi salam so inshallah you're going to be rewarded for all that inshallah ta'ala let's recite a brief dua or maybe